Hi, everyone. This is the Outlander After Show, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello. There we go. Hi, everyone. welcome to the Outlander After Show on AfterBuzz TV. We're reviewing Season 3, Episode 7, Creme de Menthe. I'm Adrienne Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrienne Snow. And here are my co-hosts.
I'm Emily Harlan. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at OMG. It's MLE.
And I'm Rachel Goodman. You can follow me on Instagram or Twitter at Rach Goodman. And it's been fun chatting with everyone in the chat.
Yeah, awesome.
All right. Yeah. Already going. I like it.
It's already started up. So, first thoughts.
You know, I liked this episode, but not as much as I liked last week's episode, I think. It felt a little slow to me, although there was a lot going on. You know, I do realize that. But maybe it was just all the connection of Claire and Jamie that we had last season. Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, last episode that I would have liked to see more of today. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I thought it was a good episode. I think it needed to happen because we found out some things about what Jamie's been up to. So.
Yeah.
I think I was a little frustrated because the argument that Jamie and Claire started to have in the tension building, as a viewer, I wanted to see more, but I understand why we wouldn't necessarily see more right this second because it's kind of building.
Yeah.
So in general, I did really like the episode. Even I liked last week's episode too, mm-hmm. but I also liked this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I liked this episode as well. I did kind of want to see more sexy time with Jamie and Claire before they start arguing, but I kind of understand what they're building towards, and it seems like they don't necessarily have as much time to kind of give us those soft moments with them as we got with them separated mm-hmm. earlier in the season. So I was kind of bummed by that because I was like, oh, well, give me like two episodes of them like being kind of happy together before you cause all this drama. But I should have known by the ending of last episode that was just not going to be the case. So we start with Claire. Were you going to say something, Rachel?
Yeah, my only question was about how much time had passed between last week's episode and this episode, because it seemed like they were already talking about moving into a place together, mm-hmm. and it seemed like more time had passed than just a couple of days. So I wasn't sure what they were trying to get at, but it just kind of felt like they had been, even though we hadn't seen it, they'd mm-hmm. been with each other for a while.
Well, I don't think any time has passed, only because last week's episode ended with her facing off with that guy. So this episode is really, what, day two of her being there, and only, or maybe day three.
Yeah.
She's been there. I guess she's been there for, like, maybe a week at this point. But also, the whole episode is the course of one day.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. I think they're talking about moving in together just because, you know, I think that's something that Claire kind of wants to get out of that brothel. And probably no longer feels safe there.
Yeah.
So, but we start with, we find out where we left off with the man who's entered the apartment. Let's call it that.
We can call it an apartment.
The brothel. The apartment and the brothel. And Barton. Mm-hmm. And he's made it very clear that he intends to rape Claire. And I was like, oh, God, please.
I know.
Please don't make it this. Don't let it happen.
Cause I know.
It hasn't happened to her so far, and it's like keep that slate clean. What were you guys' thoughts on that whole scene overall of just like her battle with him, and then Jamie entering and being like, "Don't save her life," or his life?
Yeah, I was kind of look. I understand where Claire's coming from, and part of me wants to say like, "Oh, that's so great that she has this attitude of like, mm-hmm. I have to save people." This, you know. But I was a little frustrated with her in that scene because mm-hmm. I'm like, this guy said he was going to rape you mm-hmm. and then said he was going to kill you and tried to kill you.
Yeah.
Like, I understand you're a healer, but I would be like, peace out. Like, I would have stabbed him to make sure he was dead when he started. I mean, to be quite honest, I'm like, you know, I don't know. That was a little frustrating for me. I wanted to be like, Claire, no, like, you can't always be, you know.
A good guy.
Yeah. I don't know. That was a little frustrating, but I for her character, I understand why they made it play out that way,
mm-hmm.
you know?
So I agree with you. And also in the very beginning when he first came into the room and mm-hmm. he was starting to kind of say he was going to rape her, blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. When she got that knife, I was expecting her to do some really like slick move that like was going to just mm-hmm. get the guy to like fall to the ground. And I was kind of disappointed when she was so quick to say, oh, I need to save his life. No. Yeah. Like, he tripped over. You didn't do it. He tripped. Like,
yeah,
let the
and
guy...
he was attacking
you.
Yeah.
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 I think the whole point of it is to show that Claire has changed in the 20 years that they've been apart. And that's something that can't really be denied. Like, she's going to want to be a surgeon because now she is a surgeon. Whereas Jamie, you know, I'm sorry, my lip gloss. But Jamie has been living in that same time. And he, for him, not much has changed because not much has really changed in terms of the world he lives in.
Mm-hmm.
There's still, like, a way a woman acts. And there's still, if somebody is attacking you, then let them die. And that kind of, like, survivalist. Whereas Claire has been living comfortably in Boston for 20 years of her life, not really having to want for anything, you know? So I think that's kind of the whole point of that scene, is to set up, okay, there are some very real differences between them because Claire hasn't had to survive like Jamie's had to.
Yeah. See, I think Jamie's changed a lot too, though. Mm-hmm. Maybe not in the same way.
Well, yeah, he's still changed, yeah. But, like, he still lives in that similar world. What else were you going to say?
Well, this is kind of jumping ahead, mm-hmm. so maybe I should wait. But basically, I think he's acting in a different way than he would have 20 years ago, too.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with withholding certain pieces of information.
Yeah.
I think just going back to, real quick, what you're talking about with Claire and changing, I think in some ways, too, that she has stayed the same. Because when Jamie makes that comment, when he says, stubborn as always, mm-hmm. you know, so it's like,
yeah.
I think that definitely, like, is still her, you know, still kind of brought that. But I do understand what you're saying, that I don't know if back in the day, the first time she was there, and if this situation would have happened, I don't know if she would have reacted the same way.
Yeah.
And I'd probably not, you know, probably would have been a little bit more, like, ruthless, and mm-hmm. where now it's kind of seems like she doesn't have that in her wanting to save somebody that was going to kill her.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the feeling I get, that she's just gonna, you know, that's the switch. Whereas, mm-hmm. you know, season two, it was all about espionage and it was all about, like, killing people. And she did kill people. And mm-hmm. now that change of heart has happened because she's been able to kind of live this, like, life of, I don't know, luxury? I don't know if I call that. modern day life, where we're not necessarily always thinking, you know, we have to survive every single day and mm-hmm. we're not criminals and that kind of stuff. So he calls in Mr. Willoughby and calls in Fergus. Well, Fergus comes to the door with the madam because they heard a tussle. And so Claire sends the madam to go get a Drafine to crack open this guy's skull, which she's not supposed to know how to do because it's the 1700s and women aren't doctors. But whatever, it's fine. Okay, cool. Nobody's going to freak out about it, I suppose, apparently. And, you know, attempts to save this man's life. And at the same time, when they realize that it's Sir Percival's person,
mm-hmm.
They realize that they need to start making arrangements to move the liquor out because Jamie did lie and Jamie is selling to more places than he mm-hmm. originally agreed to do. So that kind of sets us up for that confrontation between Sir Percival and Jamie with the, I want to call it moonshine because I'm from the South, from the illegal liquor. How did you all feel about that leading up to, like, the encounter with Sir Percival and just kind of actually getting to see Claire in action with the surgery?
Well, first of all, I have to say that I really like Mr. Willoughby. He's becoming one of my favorites in this little scene, these couple scenes that we've had. I think partly because I still have such a void of mm-hmm. Murtaugh.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where mm-hmm. are you? Please come back.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that there's kind of this, like, unique character that somehow fits in the mix with Jamie and Claire and their whole friend scene. But I liked seeing Claire just kind of, like, snap back into, like you said, into action, which is what she did from the very first episode. You know, mm-hmm. when Jamie's, I don't, maybe it wasn't the very first one, but when Jamie's, like, shoulders separated mm-hmm. when they first meet, and she's like, oh, I got to get that back in. You know, mm-hmm. it's just Claire going right back into Claire mode. Like I said in the beginning, I don't think that I would have done that, you know, been so mm-hmm. eager to help this man live, but I liked seeing her kind of take that action and be true to herself and I guess who she is as far as a doctor and a healer.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't watch those scenes mm-hmm. with a you know, drilling into somebody's skull. I couldn't. Oh, you couldn't watch it at all. I don't know how that went. I don't know if it looked good or not, but the sound, really good. The crunching sound, I'm like, nope, I'm out.
Yeah, that was a bit much.
I had to turn my head. Like, I kind of saw little pieces, but as soon as I saw blood and drilling, I was like, okay, I'm looking away. So, yeah. But I agree with you. I think that I didn't like the fact that she was helping this man, but then when she was, it was really interesting to see her at work, and especially because it's like she's, you know, it was a statement enough that she was able to become a surgeon in the 1960s, which was amazing. Yeah. But now here she is going back in time, and she's showing, you know, even I don't, not that she has to show Willoughby, because he seemed like someone who is accepting of the fact that she can do all these things, but I love the fact that she's a woman in this time period doing these things when it's like, oh, women weren't doctors, women didn't do this, blah, blah, blah. So I loved seeing her do that, and I love seeing her be in charge like this and knowing all these things and being as capable of this as this, like, so she can take care of a patient, regardless of who he is, because obviously we didn't like him, but just the fact that she knew, okay, this is how we can save him, possibly, and she tried and gave it her all, and she knew what she was doing, I thought was really interesting and powerful to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was surprised by how crestfallen she was that he died. I think she was a surgeon in the 60s, and she was successful at what she did, and rarely do people die on her table, but, you know, at the same time, she's back in a time where she doesn't have a hospital. That is true. She doesn't have the same resources. So the expectation of a patient surviving a massive head injury in 1766 is less likely. And I thought she would have had that understanding a little bit more, I guess, quickly or easily. And so I was surprised that she kind of lashed out at Jamie about it when it was kind of like, that's expected, though, like that people die.
That threw me, too. And I'm not to bash on Claire. I'm not trying to do that. But that did kind of throw me when she was like, well, if I was in Boston, if I was in a real hospital, and I wanted to be like, hi, but you're not.
Yeah, you know, chose to come back here.
Remember where you're at. Yeah, so it's like things. Yeah, it was just kind of jarring that it was hitting her so hard like that. And then to kind of lash out at Jamie, I'm like, whoa, like, let's step back, you know? And I don't know.
But that being said, I thought Jamie handled it way better than, for example, I don't know why I thought of him in this moment, but I was comparing her relationship to Frank with her relationship with Jamie. And in that moment, when Jamie said, hey, it's okay, you're going to have way more people that you can eventually save, I felt like he was reaching her in a way that Frank never could. And I love how Jamie handled that. I felt like she was more frustrated at the situation, not necessarily at Jamie.
No,
and
right.
And maybe just frustrated that, you know, she doesn't like to lose people. It doesn't matter. Like, there were so many people she didn't know who came to her operating table, and she treated him, this man who she didn't know, well, didn't know, but, you know, even though he obviously been trying to hurt her, it didn't matter to her because he, in that moment, he was an anonymous patient who she was just trying to save. And I think that's where the frustration came. And Jamie helped her, if anything.
Yeah, that's fair. And then was there any news in the chat room, any comments before we move on?
We do have some comments. So Bubby707 says, for Claire, it must be hard knowing things like knowing that Will are not going to be let me reread this. So for Claire, it must be hard that knowing things like this are not going to be progressive, and knowing certain medicines won't be around because there's a limit to progress. Eric Jackson says they could probably work that into the show. They're talking about a foot fetish.
Okay, so let's on that back. Note, we'll come back to the chat room in a bit. We're just going to move on to the introduction of the Campbell family.
Sounds good.
Apparently it was in the books.
Foot fetish. Foot fetish. All right. Archibald Campbell is somebody that Claire meets when she goes to the apothecary to get resources for Barton. And in order to jump him in line... I mean, did it make that much of a difference? I guess, okay. She offers to help him with his sister for any services. Now, I thought that was a risky and dumb move. I kind of agreed with Jamie when he's like, you don't know who these people are.
Yeah.
Because I guess my issue with Claire this episode is that she isn't taken into consideration that it's dangerous for her to talk about future, medicinal skills, to have those skills in this day and age, and to kind of have foresight into like what mental illness is, like when she mentions that to him. Yeah. I'm like, that's dangerous because a lot of people don't know, we don't have the concept of what mental illness really is at that point. So I don't know how you all felt about that. Just her agreeing to help Mr. Campbell, and then also the interaction she has with him and his sister later on.
I totally agree with you. When she was interacting with them both and she said, your sister has a mental disorder, that, like, red flag in my head, you know, I'm like, wait, are you supposed to be saying those kinds of terms? Maybe, I don't know, but it didn't seem like to me that it is something that would have been said, or that's a common phrase that would have been used back then. And yeah, you know, it's true Claire fashion, right? This is what she would have done the first time she was around. So it's like, it's very true to her character, but it was a little frustrating again for me, you know, just as a viewer watching it, because she hasn't been there for that long, right? It's been like a few days or a week or whatever it's been. It's not been a long time. And I know she's trying to help people, but with everything that's going on, with Jamie obviously in some stuff that he should not be involved in. And she knew that a little bit, right? Like, not to the fullest extent, but knew that he was doing some things he shouldn't have been doing. I wouldn't be just, like, offering my services to random people that I meet in this town. Like, this town can't be that big, right? And you don't know who you're getting involved with or where you're going or who knows who or what you're going to say. And I thought, you know, is she going to have to introduce herself as, you know, as Jamie's wife? Like, is she going to say Claire Frazier? And then what if this is somebody that, you know, it was just all these little things, these what ifs that kind of frustrated me and was surprising that she was so just willing to do this and willing to do it just for the fact that she was trying to save this man who tried to kill her. Right?
She was risking a lot for this man.
And here's the thing, too, is that I know, okay, so I think the difference for me is that when Claire originally went back to this time period, I mean, not this exact, but, you know, into the 1700s, she didn't know it was happening. She didn't have a choice. So her acting reckless, to me, is more because she was a victim of her circumstance. This time around, she knew what she was doing. She knew she was going to be in a different time period. So I feel like she should be more prepared. I know she tried to prepare, but she shouldn't be just, you know, saying these terms, like, just out in the open like that. She shouldn't be going to help random people who might cause her a problem. And I don't think she should have been risking that much for a man who tried to rape her and kill her. So yeah, I don't think it makes sense. If it was Jamie or someone she cared about that was going through this, I could see her risking as much as possible, but not for some guy who was bad.
And it also goes to say that you know, it wasn't like there weren't consequences to her being as in the future the last time she came back to the future kept coming into my head. And so what I mean by that is that she was accused of being a witch because she knew too much about the future and because she had certain skills that were redeemed mystical. Knowing what an herb does is mystical. But so there were consequences to that, and she did almost die. Like, that's something that I think is kind of forgotten at this point, that, the last time you just kind of, like, walked in and was like, I'm a healer, I got this, I know what to do, you almost burned at the stake. Don't just rush into things like you did last time, because there were consequences to that. And I think also, I thought that when the Campbells were introduced, when the sister was introduced, that she was going to have hysteria. And that it was going to be something where she, like, it was going to infuriate Claire because it was something that was actually not, there's nothing wrong with her. The brother just assumed that she had, you know, womanly issues. So I was surprised that they gave her a mental illness. And that also, they didn't name it. Because I was like, I don't know what, am I supposed to know what the illness is? I don't understand. Is it just, she's not just depressed? She's like, speaking. Oh, you know what? Paranoid schizophrenia. Maybe that was it.
That's what I was thinking. I don't know if they actually named it on the episode, but I mean, I don't know why they probably wouldn't have those terms, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking schizophrenia, just the way she was acting. Mm-hmm. But I thought that she was going, because she's a seer, or she could like, I thought she was going to say something about Claire being from the future and coming back or something like that. And then the other guy,
the brother,
Archibald was going to be like, oh, you know, and kind of blow Claire's secret. But I don't know. It was a little weird.
Well, what she was saying was a little odd. And I was wondering if it pertained to Claire in the first place. Mm-hmm. And the brother said, oh, I can translate. I'm curious what that translation would have been.
Yeah.
Because maybe it would have been something, maybe not necessarily from the future, but maybe it would have been something that kind of, you know, related to that and kind of gave Claire away.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the reason they didn't do that is because they didn't want to give them any type of justification and what they were doing. Like, it's like, no, these people are actually he's actually just a guy who's not a thief,
like he's a crook.
He's a crook. So with that, let's go ahead and just slide anything else from the chat room before I slide to the next plot point.
We have, so Terry Drosselmeyer says, you guys don't know this, but Claire took
Is this a book spoiler?
It is, but it's not a major spoiler, so I could probably say it.
Okay.
All it says is apparently in the book she took an oath to help others.
Well, yeah, the Hippocratic Oath.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, I think that's, you can kind of make it a little lenient if someone's trying to kill you.
Yeah.
If I were a doctor and then all of a sudden someone came at me with a... to kill me, a gun, I'd probably
let
save
him
myself.
Die. Yeah.
And then Eric Jackson says, in a fortune-telling woman who's going to the West Indies, I smell foreshadowing. So that, and then I think Terry Drosselmeyer also said PTSD. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what the woman was experiencing.
Maybe. But, yeah, maybe we'll come back to them. I mean, it doesn't seem like they're going to be... She did say she was going to come back tomorrow, so there's a potential that we will see them again.
Yeah.
But then the last thing we have with Claire is that she ends up, having a dinner with Jamie and kind of announcing her desire to leave the brothel and get a place of her own and to start up her own clinic, potentially, you know, and she can make money and maybe he could... get him to stop bootlegging? Was that kind of implied that you kind of wanted him to like get out of the business? I just thought that was a really interesting thing to ask of him so quickly, because he's kind of had this life without her that he kind of likes and he's kind of used to, and this is, he's not, I mean, he's a Highlander. He was never someone who was like, I'm going to just settle down in a nice cottage and pop out some kids.
That's why I thought, even though we had the continuation from the attack from last episode to this, that's why I was curious how much overall time had passed, because she was, I kind of felt like the conversation was as if she had been there for maybe weeks or like a month, not just a couple of days. That's just how I took it.
Yeah. Well, I think too, she... As far as I could figure out, she doesn't know, like, the full extent of what Jamie's, like, doing, right?
Yeah.
Or, like, maybe she doesn't realize that it's as bad, maybe. So I think, like, for her, because Jamie hasn't relayed all of this information, maybe for her it's kind of seems like he could just, all right, yeah, I'll get out of it, I'll quit. You know, maybe she doesn't understand, like, how deep he's in and, like, how many people are involved. And, like, it's a lot more serious than maybe... he led her to believe it was, I think. Because I'm trying to think back of when he told her about it, and it was kind of like, oh, yeah, kind of joking.
It was
right?
Literally the night before. So, yeah, she's actually only been there 2 days, like with him at least. I don't know how long she's been back in the past, but maybe a week total. But she's only been with him for 2 days, because the episode before they meet, she was there that morning.
Yeah.
And by that night, they slept together. And then that morning, he left. And that's when the guy came and broke in.
Yeah.
Right? So... Mm-hmm. It's only been 2 days, and I think, I forgot my point. Do you have anything?
Probably just when we were talking about, that she doesn't know, like, how serious that it really is, right?
Yeah.
Like, it was just, he just told her last night, and he kind of glossed over it. Like, he was making, like, jokes about it, I think, when they were in bed after, like, after they were together. It wasn't, like, some serious thing, like, hey, I gotta be honest with you. this is what I'm doing. These are bad people that are involved. Mm-hmm. It's getting worse because we haven't told so-and-so mm-hmm. that we're stretching it. Like, she don't, I don't think she knows all that. So for yeah. her to be like, oh, let's just get out of this thing. For her, she probably thinks like, okay, no big deal. She isn't, but yeah. Jamie needs to be honest.
Yeah, he needs to kind of just tell the truth about everything.
And that's what I don't get, because not only is he lying to her, mm-hmm. but the fact that he's lying to his sister mm-hmm. and his brother-in-law, that to me is a very different Jamie mm-hmm. than before. Even though I know they all, like, they had their lies, but I just don't think he would lie to his family before. So this seemed very different.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. And I think Claire realized that too, because mm-hmm. when he's saying, oh no, I haven't seen him, to mm-hmm. his brother-in-law, Claire is giving him these looks of like, not anger, but more yeah. like just kind of like shock, because I think probably same thing, Claire probably didn't think that Jamie would be somebody who's lying so blatantly mm-hmm. to family, yeah. you know? So I think that kind of caught her off guard, like, oh, he's changed too.
Yeah, right? I think, and just to go into that with the return of Ian Murray Senior, sorry, I couldn't say it for some reason, we get to see that the fact that Jamie maybe doesn't feel as close to his brother-in-law or his sister as he used to, because yeah. he really has no claim over Lolly Brock anymore. He really can't go and visit as much as maybe he used to, because now essentially Jamie Fraser is dead.
Yeah.
You know, he is Alexander Malcolm for all intents and purposes publicly. So that's probably also what's kind of driven a wedge. And then I think when they had that fight at the end and Claire... it was so just, I thought that was kind of cruel when she was like, you have no idea what it's like to be a parent that's worrying about their child.
I thought that was cruel too. I was like, Claire, was that like a purposeful dig, or yeah. did that just kind of like slip out? Yeah, when she said that, I'm like, oh girl, you just set yourself up.
And I understand why she probably said it, because she's just thinking about like, that were Brianna, you know, how worried she would be. But It was just so sloppy, because it was like she didn't even consider that, hey, you are talking to Brianna's actual father.
Yeah.
The one who never has seen her or touched her.
And it wasn't his fault.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is that if he had been a father who just abandoned the child, then yeah, okay, fine, say that to him. Mm-hmm. But no, it was not his fault. Not that it was her fault, but it just, I did not like when she said that. I didn't necessarily agree with everything Jamie was saying either.
Yeah, he kind of just lashed out with that whole bikini trip.
I know. Yeah.
Who cares?
And it was funny how she was like, wait, so you'd rather have your daughter commit treason? And you know, he's like, yeah, if her virtue stays in her. Thank God we've come farther than...
It's a little iffy sometimes, but... Yeah, just the whole idea of like... I'd rather my daughter be like a swashbuckling criminal who stabs people and, you know, lets them die out than show her midriff. It's like, okay, that's the twisted, weird mindset that even to this day some men have. I didn't say that. So, so it was a weird moment to see that.
Well, and also I did like the fact that Claire stuck up for Frank as a father, but I really wanted her to admit just how horrible it was being in that marriage for 20 years.
Yeah.
That bothered me too, that not only did she, it's good that she defended him for that, for the parenting, but Claire didn't tell the full truth, and that bothers me, because this is supposed to be your other husband, but the man that you love, like, you should confide in him and tell him these things. And yeah, I know that Jamie is hiding things from her too, but it doesn't make it right that she's also not telling him the full truth about what she went through with Frank either.
Yeah, I think what it's really showing is that they need more time together. Mm-hmm. I think the fact that they're assuming that that everything's just going to go back to the way it was is a bit naive.
Yeah,
and that Claire went and had this whole different life, and Jamie went and had this whole different life, but Claire is also in Jamie's world. You know, it's not like he went to the future and... I'm sorry, my Instagram's blowing up. It's not like he went to the future and is having to learn how to drive a car.
Yeah.
And, like, figure out, oh, gosh, what do you mean? You come to this place and you just sit here and I'm just supposed to read a newspaper and do nothing
and get a.
I don't need a gun or fighting skills.
Get an office job.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Right. I'm gonna get a beer belly. Like what?
No, never.
And so I think there has to be an understanding on both their sides, but also because Claire is back in that world, she's the one who has to give a little bit more.
Yeah.
Just because. Oh God, it's his world. Like, it's literally his world that she's walked into. And so, with that note, let's go just a little bit more into Jamie's experience this episode. Was there anything else before in the chat room before?
We do have a couple more comments. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so Lynn Ann Mustage says, I think the truth about Frank will come out when his truth about the other wife is revealed.
Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth Brown says, yeah, that would be a good time to get it all out.
Mm-hmm.
Terry Drosselmeyer says, Jamie lied to a parent looking for their child. That is beyond cruel.
Mm-hmm.
And Bubby707 says, I'm surprised Fergus said that stuff about Claire, though. It wasn't mean, but it also seemed like he didn't trust her.
Well, yeah. We'll get there about Fergus when we talk about Ian Murray Jr. But, Well, go ahead and finish it. I was just like, well, let's not talk about it yet. But
so, Eric Jackson said, what's a newspaper? Probably in reference to Jamie being in the future thing.
Yeah.
Well, Eric, if you want to tell us what you meant by that.
No, I think he was joking about that in the future. But with that said, I think so we go into Jamie, and he has that face-off with Sir Percival and his right-hand man, whose name I've suddenly blanked on.
Tompkins,
Harry Tompkins.
Yeah.
And it becomes very clear that, like, Jamie is in a little too deep.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I guess... I don't know if it's like a criminal mindset of just like, this is just what Jamie wants to be. Because he could easily just be a printer.
Yeah.
Like, he lives in a brothel, rent free. And I know he wouldn't live in the brothel if he didn't do the bootlegging. But okay, then maybe you could have saved up a bit of money, stopped doing the bootlegging, and gone into just being a full-time printer. I don't know. Maybe.
I agree with you. Just looking at the whole thing and just thinking of Jamie's whole history,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, maybe it's just who he is. And and he doesn't do stuff, I feel like he's trying to spread those, like, treason papers. You know, he doesn't do stuff just to, like, do bad stuff. He's trying to do some sort of, like, revolution or, like, kind of get on the right side of history, I guess, you know, right? But what he's been through, it's like, if I was him, I think I would just, like, tap out on all of the illegal stuff, anything that could put me back in jail, anything that could discover who I really was. I would just try to lead, like, the most clean life. Like, you know, so it is shocking to me. And it's like, is it just something that that's just what he knows, or is he doing it for a greater good, a greater cause? Like, I don't know. I'm questioning that too. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what his end game is.
Right.
I don't get, like, so I would think when they, basically when he was being taken to this new town, I kind of just assumed that, that the goal was lay low, take a new name, don't get into trouble. And what's he doing? Getting into trouble.
Yeah.
So
I think he has an addiction. Like, it's like when you hear about criminals who get out of jail and and then they immediately go right back and do the same crime. Like, there's like that old jewelry thief. Forget some old black woman who's a jewelry thief, and she just kept going back. Like, I'm talking about 80 years old, just loved stealing stuff. I was like, that's insane, woman. Like, you've been released from jail so many times. You've been given so many chances. Nobody's put you in jail for life. That's amazing to begin with. And yet you just cannot resist.
Yeah.
And I think that's for Jamie. He can't resist just the danger that comes with being rebellious. Or, you know, I think he tried it, and I think he was so depressed, like, when we saw him, when Fergus was like, you've lost all the fight in you and all that kind of stuff when he was a kid, that that for him to not have that sense of danger in life would mean that he would just be depressed. Yeah. So maybe that's it.
Yeah.
We do have a couple of comments. Terry, Elizabeth, and Lin-Ann all say that he's sending the money to Lollybrook.
He is sending the money to Lollybrook, and I understand that. But at the same time, like, I mean,
yeah,
I understand that he wants to take care of his family. But at the same time, he needs to stop putting himself in danger. Because when he puts himself in danger, he also puts his family in danger. Because if it's discovered that he is still James Frazier of Lollybrook, that could still come down on them eventually. And so that's kind of where I'm like, hey, just stop it already.
Yeah.
But we end up having him, I want to make sure I'm not skipping anything else. So he had this confrontation with Sir Percival before we get to Ian. He ends up losing everything. He ends up losing everything because, actually, scratch that. Let's just go and go into Ian before we get to that. Anything else on Jamie before that I'm forgetting? Covered a lot with Claire.
Yeah.
All right. So Ian Murray Jr. Is aspiring to be a lot like Jamie. I think that's like kind of his mission, is to be really good at being a criminal. Like, we see that with the whole crime de menthe, where he's like, yeah, you know, take these caskets of brandy. And so when they have to get everything out of the madam's home, they have to sell everything for a lower price. But he wants to haggle with this man, and he gets him to get 3 creme de menthe barrels, which apparently, like, no Scotsman drink. But
yeah,
I think it's going to come back to bite them in the butt, because they put the body of Barton in one of the caskets. Yeah, and who's to say they didn't give it to that guy?
Exactly.
Yeah. He also is having a drink with Fergus after having a successful sale, and sees a lass by the name of Bridget, and decides tonight's the night he's going to lose his virginity with this woman that he barely knows and that he just ran into at the bar. But he has an affection for. I was like, okay. I guess that's just how he goes. He's just like, you know, I think I'm just going to see if I can... And I love with this lady.
I love what Fergus was telling him, too.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking, you know, last time we really saw Fergus until now, he was a little kid. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about his menage a trois. And like,
yeah. I know. When he was 15, I'm like,
because Fergus is still French, okay? Still French. He's like, just because I live with you, you Scotsman, it does not matter. I still have my menage a trois. So,
it was a religious experience.
Yes. Good for you, Fergie. Good for you. But he ends up laying with Bridget. And I loved the portrayal of Bridget in this episode. The fact that she was like, what are you doing? I am not a dog that you mount, essentially. And was like, you know, let me show you. And he's like, yeah, I'll do whatever you want. I was like, obviously, this is a show for women. Whenever a man's like, I'll do whatever you want, show me what to do, I'm like, yeah, this is a show for women. or written by women, at least. And so I just love the fact that there was no like, oh, but I don't want you to take my precious flower. It was very much like an assertion of like, yes, okay, let's do this. And this is how I want it done. And okay, and I'll teach you some moves and all that kind of stuff. How did you guys feel about that?
Well, I didn't even know if she was a virgin.
I would bet she was not.
I bet she was not. And I appreciated that as well. That it wasn't like a big whoop to do that she wasn't a virgin or anything like that.
Yeah. Because it was kind of the same situation with Claire and Jamie.
Yeah.
So, I appreciate how they did that too. Yeah. And I just liked how, at first, I wasn't so sure about her.
Yeah.
Until they were there, I was like, okay, what's going to happen? And then, obviously, it wasn't her. It was that other guy. But
it was what?
Well, at first, I wasn't sure if Ian was being kind of set up by her.
That's what I thought, really? Too. That passed into my head. I was like, is this something where she... Because Tompkins was there at the bar. And so I'm like, is this something where somebody's involved and she's going to get him, like, drunk and to spill all of his secrets about something? Yeah. That's where I thought it was going.
Exactly.
So I was glad it turned out to not be that.
Yeah.
I just thought Tompkins was following him. That's what I assumed. But
probably,
I like that it was she was just a barmaid. It wasn't like it was like, oh, well, I'm a prostitute and all that kind of stuff. But it was just a very kind of like simple way of handling the story without giving it complications that it didn't need to have. It was just very much a woman who was clearly okay with having some good old casual sex.
Yeah.
And I appreciated that. There was no other weird story that had to go around it. She was like, yeah, I'm willing to get down with you. Let's do it. So I always appreciate this moment. It's on TV.
Yes.
So as they're getting down to it, Tompkins comes in to look for caskets. Okay. I was kind of like, why wouldn't you be trying to look for the ledgers? Because that actually makes more sense in a print shop than a bunch of caskets that are flammable and it's all paper. It's all paper in a print shop. So, I don't know. How did you guys feel about that? I was kind of like, that doesn't make sense that he'd be looking for the caskets in a print shop, because that's where that's a really dangerous thing for him to do.
Plus, my guess is that he probably would have gone to the print shop first.
Yeah.
Then the brothel.
Yeah.
Then maybe somewhere else. Because the print shop, I feel like during the day, it's probably easier to access it since it's actually open.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the brothel is kind of, I don't know, like, I guess, you know, at least searching the rooms and the basement or whatever they called it is a little bit, I would think it would be more difficult.
And he could have easily gone, you could tell it was a rogue mission, because he could have easily gone on a stripper table and gone through and looked at it without having this whole whoop to do. But no, he couldn't do it because he's like a weird old man. And he decides to go ahead and just break in and ends up having a confrontation with Ian where does Ian blind him in the other eye?
That's what I thought. Or maybe it was the same eye, because I don't know. Like, I was
it was this eye that was blinded, and then it hit that eye. I was like, oh my god, this man. No, he must not be blind, because he was able to, like, go through the door.
I don't know. Yeah. We'll have to see.
But they end up burning down the entire print shop.
Yeah.
I don't know. How did you all feel about that ending?
Yeah, that was... It was a little sad for me, just seeing, like... You know, obviously, Jamie had so much pride in this print shop, right? Mm-hmm. Just going back to last week's or episode, or maybe the one before, I forget. I'm getting all mixed up. But when he's, like, polishing the sign that says A. Malcolm on the outside, you know, obviously, he has a lot of pride in this place. And just, you know, you root for him, and even though he's doing some illegal stuff out at the print shop, you know, you just want him to do well and to have things that are nice, I guess. I don't know. But, yeah, so that was sad to see. And then... that it didn't have anything to do with, like it wasn't an accident. It was, like, somebody trying to take him down, which was really sad to see. But I did kind of like how Ian, like, put on his little superhero cape and was like, go out the back door. I'm going to fight this guy. And I'm like, oh, you're going to lose.
Like, no.
Like, yeah.
And even worse now that he has those papers. And so now
I know. Yeah.
Be arrested for even worse.
Can I just say that when Jamie got there, when he went in and, like, jumped over.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. And then, like, and then he pushed the printmaking equipment into the middle. I was like, yes, we are getting up.
Yeah. It's like, wow, all right. He is an actual superhero at this point. He's able to get him out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, if anything, it was to set up the fact that they need to return to Lollybrock.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of, it sets up the that there's nothing left for them there anymore. All the at least the bootlegging liquor there has been sold off at this point. I'm sure more will be coming in, but now they can't use the madam's place as a resource anyway anymore. So they have to find a new place to live anyhow, which is kind of what Claire wanted. He doesn't have a cover business anymore, and so that has to go. So now they're going to go back to Lollybrock, and now this is the moment where Jamie finally has to admit that he married another woman.
I know.
Yeah.
When they said that, I'm glad they finally said it, because they've been tiptoeing around it for a couple episodes now. So just to hear somebody, I think it was Fergus, that said, oh, you didn't tell her that you have another wife? I'm like, okay, at least it's out in the open.
Yeah.
But then Jamie's response, like, oh, it wasn't the right time or something. I'm like, dude.
Wow.
Dude, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now you're even more deep into it.
Yeah.
It's never good to hold off on lies. It just gets worse.
Always gets worse.
Yeah.
Well, I do want to say in the chat, Hubby Joe goes, Batman.
Yes.
I really just think Jamie should have just said something in the beginning, because that would have been easier. And Claire would have understood, considering she kept saying, I know you've had another life. So.
Well, I think when book readers know who he married. So don't mention it on YouTube. I also know who he married, because I Wikipedia'd it a long time ago by accident. So I was looking for something else and I fell upon it. But so there is, you know, I think there's more of a reason as to why he didn't really want to bring it up when you discover who it is. But with that, let's go ahead into predictions. There we go. I'm always waiting. I'm like, I don't want to start talking before. All right, Rachel, let's start with you.
I think it's Claire's going to find out, of course, about the wife, who it is, and she's going to probably freak out. There's going to be this huge fight. I know we started to see that in the previews, but I don't know. I almost feel like maybe she'll consider going back to the 60s.
Maybe.
The 1960s, that is.
Yeah. We get it. We get it.
You know, I think that Claire's going to have the initial blow up, but I think it's going to kind of simmer down. I don't think it's going to be as big of a disaster after it kind of settles in, because I think that's Claire, you know, she kind of has these impulse reactions to things, and then it's kind of like, okay, let's think this through. But I am interested to see that relationship with Jenny, because judging by the previews we saw, it seemed like she was saying, like, you know, give me another chance, you know, so obviously there's something that's going on in there that I'm not sure. Maybe it's just, you know, Jenny's upset that she never came back from the Americas, you know? So, yeah, that's going to be interesting, I think, to see next week.
Yeah,
I think we're going to discover that the family dynamic has been really skewered, and that Jenny saying at the end of a few episodes back that she would never forgive Jamie, like, has held true to a certain extent, regardless of the money he sends or his relationship with her son, that there is some resentment there that probably would also transfer over onto Claire as well. I don't think they're going to break up. I would hope not, but
after all that,
gosh, I had to spend five episodes without them together. Come on, man. But I think it's something where this is setting up for them to make a major move, because I don't think, and this is not me being like a person who read ahead in the books. This is all just like me assuming things, because I don't know anything about the books, but I think it's going to come down to them having to leave Scotland. I just think it's no longer safe for them to be there, or for Jamie to be there at this point. So I don't know. I think that's what's going to happen, but we'll see. So that about wraps it up for this episode of the Outlander After Show on AfterBuzz TV. As always, please rate, subscribe, and whatever it is you like to do on your social media. Comment on YouTube, iTunes. We love to hear from you guys. Also, we always have the chat room open when we're doing the show, so feel free to chime in. I'm Adrienne Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrienne Snow. And where can they follow you all?
I'm Emily Harlan. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at OMG. It's MLE.
And I'm Rachel Goodman. You can follow me on Instagram or Twitter at Rach Goodman, or on Facebook at Rachel Ann Goodman.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Stay sexy, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.